Welcome to the Love Positivism podcast. I'm Shireen Oberg, and I'm a yoga teacher and author devoted to the path of healing and heart-based living. And I want to help you to step into what you truly are and to your highest potential. On this podcast, I share with you tools and insights to help you move ever forward on your spiritual and healing path. With guests from all over the world, from different wisdom traditions, I wish to create a web of loving energy that permeates the whole world to create more love and peace. You can connect with me on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube for more guidance and love. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode. I'm super excited to have Claire Stone as my guest today. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Shireen. Thank you so much for inviting me on here. I can't wait to have a conversation with you.
I'm so excited to talk to you, and we've been wanting to do this for such a long time, and now is really, we just spoke about that it's the time of angels. Well, it's always time for angels, but right now is like the season of really magical and beautiful things happening. So I'm very excited to talk to you and hear more about your work and your book. And just a spontaneous question that I had now was, what is your most important like morning practice right now? That can change, of course, but what is important for you right now?
Okay, so for about the past year, what I have been doing in the morning, before I even get out of bed, I say this prayer. And if people don't like the word God, you can change it to source, creator, universe, whatever word you want to use. But I always say, I ask the light of God to descend upon me. And I say that several times. And I imagine the sun. I get up before the sunrise, to be honest, but I imagine it's the light of the sun washing over me. And I imagine that it's washing through my mind as if it's cleansing my mind to remind me that I am a spiritual being, to kind of set the intention that I want to be a good person today and be the best kind of me, be connected to God, to the creator, and to my higher self. So that's the first thing that I do. I connect to the light in that way by asking the light of God to descend upon me now. And throughout the day, if I feel triggered, something happens and I'm feeling, you know, in a bit of a bad mood, when I realize that, I stop and I say that again. I don't want to feel like this. Can the light of God descend upon me now? After I've said that in the morning, I then call in Archangel Michael and I ask the energy of Archangel Michael to be before me, behind me, in every direction. I put it around my house, my children, husband, and then I'll do my meditation.
That's so beautiful and a great reminder that sometimes we feel that it's hard to just connect, and we're like so caught up in our thoughts. And I'm actually listening to a book about Sufism and how to connect from that teaching to the divine. And it's always about remembrance, right? Yeah. And it feels so comforting to just by the thought to be able to connect, and you feel so much support. So I love that. Thank you for sharing that. I will remember that tomorrow morning as well. I want to try it.
Yeah. And the beauty of it is, even if you've not got the time to meditate, sometimes we're in a rush, you can still say that three times. I ask the light of God to descend upon me now. And it feels absolutely wonderful. Everyone, just try it. Just try it tomorrow. And it's so powerful just saying that three times.
Definitely. Thank you so much for sharing that. Claire, I can't begin to describe you, because it's just been such a connection with you since we met in London. And I've been following your work. And even before we met, I actually had listened to your book on the app, on the Hay House app. And I just felt like so connected to your work, also connecting to since the more traditional writings about Angels, I'm actually listening to a talk that is very long about the whole history of angels, and we have that strongly in my Kurdish culture, and we talk about it a lot actually in my family and those that have encountered angels. So I'm really excited to talk to you today, and also about the divine feminine aspect of it and your work. So maybe you can share with all of us like how that started and what you have been called to do in your work.
Okay, well, I feel like I have always been on a spiritual path. From a very young age, I was questioning the meaning of life. And I was raised going to church. We were Protestants, going to church every Sunday. But I had this feeling that, no, there's something missing. This cannot be the ultimate truth. Even being very, very young, I experienced astral projection, lucid dreams, seeing angels, spirit animals. No one in my family had any of these mystical experiences. If they did, they didn't share them. And it was actually quite taboo in our family. And actually, the church that I went to didn't even really like speaking about angels, which is strange because I now know that the Catholic Church love angels and that's a big part of their religion. But the church I went to, there was nothing about angels. And when I was a teenager, I had agoraphobia. My parents were alcoholics, so I had lots of responsibilities. I didn't go to school. I was raising 3-year-old twins when I was 14. And I just kind of had enough of life. And I always prayed because I'd been taught to pray going to church. But this one night, I really had enough of life. And I was absolutely devastated. And I was saying, can anybody help me? And the difference was in my prayer. My prayers were usually to God or Jesus. But this time, I feel like I opened up the prayer and I said, can anybody help me? And it was Archangel Uriel, who is a divine feminine archangel. And she came, and it's the strangest thing. It's the strangest story because she started to give me tasks. Now, if you think, we're going back now to the 90s, people aren't talking about mental health. People don't know what anxiety is. Well, they probably do, but they don't talk about it like they do now. Mental health was very taboo topic, wasn't it? And so I didn't know that there was a name for my agoraphobia. All I knew, being a 14-year-old girl, was I go outside and I feel sick. I can't go out. I just have this intense fear. Uriel said to me, tomorrow, I want you to go to the bus stop. I didn't know why or what that was going to do, but I did what she said. And she kept giving me these tasks. Go to the bus stop, get on the bus for one stop and come back home. And I started doing what she said. Eventually, I'm all the way into the town centre. And that is how I cured agoraphobia with the help of an angel. I had no adults, no psychotherapists, no medication. No one in the physical world could help me with the situation because I am a young carer at this point of life. I could not believe that I was cured because I'd been suffering with this for about 2 years, and I thought I would never be able to go outside again. And in my mind, I had my own plan. Oh, well, if I have children, I don't have to go out. I can be a stay-at-home mum. I'd planned my whole future around this agoraphobia. So to be cured from it, it was such a miracle. I felt like I want to dedicate my life to helping other people, because if I got through this, then I know other people can get through things that they think they're never going to get through. So I then went to college. I trained as a holistic therapist, doing reflexology, aromatherapy. It was really beautiful. I did that for 15 years, one-to-one therapies, psychic readings, retreats. But I always had this desire to write a book, but I kind of didn't know how to do it, you know, didn't go to school. I am a good writer and I learned that from doing crosswords. When you've got agoraphobia, you've got a lot of time on your hands. Lots of books to read. I've always loved books. And then one day I got a message from one of my guides and they said, if you don't write this book now, you never will. And I knew it was true. And I thought, oh, I've got to write this book. So that was when I got onto the path of, I went onto a writer's workshop with Hay House. And it was really funny because I kept asking my tarot cards, will I win the writer's competition? Because everyone gets an opportunity to enter and win a writing contract. And my tarot cards kept saying to me, one day they'd say, yes, you will win it. And then the next time they were saying, no, you're not going to win. And I thought, why? What do you mean? And then what actually happened was I didn't win the UK contest, but once a year, everyone from around the world gets entered into the USA. And I won that one. So the cards were right all along. I wasn't going to win, but I was going to win. So that was my path into becoming an author. One of my spiritual practices that is just coming to mind now is my background. For 22 years, I practiced Aikido. And Aikido is a spiritual martial art. It means the harmonious way of the spirit. And my sensei, Ted, he passed away 2 years ago. He was an old man, when he passed away very peacefully, the way he wanted to. And he was the most magnificent person I have ever been blessed to meet. So Aikido is kind of the foundation of how I developed even further. It awakened a lot of things within me.
That's incredible. And what a beautiful practice to also have that, and your whole journey and all of the things that you experienced to, it's really, you never know why you have those life experiences, but this was so clear, like, that this would be your path. So that's so beautiful and so big to have experienced that and connecting with the angels. And yeah, tell us more about your book, because that's like, that's also what like started even more of the work that you do now, because you do work with the tarot and all of that, which you said you're an amazing tarot reader. I always find it so accurate, and you explain it in a way that others don't, I think. And when you started getting these downloads from the angelic realm, how did you experience that, and how did that come into the book, and how come it was also focused on the divine feminine and the feminine archangels?
Yeah, so for people who are watching, this is what the book looks like. It's got the Venus rose on the cover, which is the divine feminine symbol. I was connecting with angels every day. When you're practicing holistic therapies, you've got to invoke psychic protection. You're asking for healing energy to come through to your clients. So that's how I was connected to the angels a lot. And I started to wonder, why is everybody talking about masculine named angels? Why have they all got masculine names when I am receiving divine feminine? Like Ariel is one of the more, like in the book, I call her she's my heroine. She's like a superhero to me, because she helped me cure. She saved my life. That's how I feel. And so I started to get really curious, and I was interested in divine feminine. You know, I've done the rite of the womb, lots of women. I have women's circles. I've always worked with women and women's charities, Women's Aid, which is victims of domestic violence, pregnant young women, teaching them massage and meditation for relaxation. So I've always, and I'd never applied for any of that work. I always got asked to do it. So I know that working with women specifically was going to be a massive part of my life path. Now, we know that in truth, angels are androgynous. So I need to explain this a little bit. I love getting on stage saying angels are androgynous. So how did you write a book called The Female Archangels? It's a brilliant question. I actually wanted to call this book The Divine Feminine Archangels. But I got overruled, and it's The Female Archangels. What we're talking about with female archangels is Every archangel embodies a certain energy. And those energies, how I believe we receive them, is through polar opposites, so yin and yang. And I believe that we have these internal energies, which you teach yoga, don't you? So you will know mm-hmm. about Ida and Pingala,
yeah.
these masculine and feminine energies that rise within us. And what we're trying to do with our spiritual practice is to get these energies flowing harmoniously, to awaken and unify the brain.
Mm.
That's how I perceive it. And so the spiritual teachings, wisdom teachings, that are masculine in nature and feminine in nature. So masculine is, I've got this idea, I'm going to take action, I'm confident enough to do it, I've got the logic to do it, and I'm going to take action and get it done. And then the feminine is knowing, I'm trusting my intuition, I'm allowing myself to dream and create these ideas and nurture these ideas. So it's this fine balance of yin and yang energies, which we in the West have been taught to focus on being in our masculine all the time. Let's get ahead. We've got to achieve these goals. And we've not been leaning into that feminine aspect. Mm. And us being, I call us in the book, the motherless society.
Mm.
And I mean the divine mother by that.
Mm.
So this book and the divine feminine archangels, I feel like they're a missing part of the puzzle of our spiritual history, of how we become a whole human being. And they help us to embody those feminine aspects that we all have that are going to help us to become the best version of who we want to be.
Mm. That's so beautiful. And when you're talking about this, I actually listened to a book called Winged Women, and in the mythology, how much there is of flying women, like all the way to Lilith, you know, like the winged, and then yeah. somehow it got, and like you said, also like that they're androgynous and there's different qualities. So it does help our consciousness, because we have been trained into seeing and shaping the divine into the masculine form. And we use that in our language, which not all languages use. My native language don't use he or she. So we never say that to God, for example. Or even call it by that name. But when language shapes us, and then art, names, all of this, which you said,
yeah.
it does something to our, and especially then when we cannot relate to that, and we cannot, even men can't connect to that feminine side, which has been for the over like 4,000 years of doing this, it's so important to come back and also see like how much in mythology there are in from different cultures, like these winged women, somehow divine feminine, like you said. And I mean, even Archangel Gabriel is so connected to parents and children. It feels like a feminine energy as well. But when you started connecting with these, so which ones are you working with, and what are their qualities, and how does your book help us to work with them?
Well, in the book, I have written about 11 of these angels, because I wanted to give, there's a lot more, but I wanted to give as much information, because I'm a very practical person.
Mm.
I don't want to just tell you a story. I want to tell you how this can help you too. So it's a very practical book, loads of exercises. And yet the divine feminine angels are practical in that sense, because it's helping you to step into your power and know that you can do these things for yourself. Mm-hmm. This isn't a time of, you know, the Piscean age where it's calling upon the guru and we're going to do mm-hmm. everything what we're taught. This is about embodying ourselves fully, I believe, this Aquarian age that mm-hmm. we're on the cusp of. So yeah, these angels definitely help you to embody these qualities that they are expressing. Now, what these angels are so practical, they have taught me to, I can relate to them through the chakras. Okay. If you know a little bit about chakras, it makes it a lot easier to understand how these angels, if you've not heard of these angels before, it might be a bit like, oh, do I need these angels? So I've connected each one. So for example, Archangel Aurora, her name means dawn of the goddess. And what I have done as well, and I absolutely love it, is how angels' names will say Uriel, the lioness of God. I've changed it to lioness of the goddess because I feel like bringing that balance.
Yeah.
So going back to Aurora, her name is Dawn of the Goddess, and she is the feminine aspect of Archangel Uriel. Some people listening will know Uriel, the fire of God. They are the angels of the solar plexus chakra, which is all about, well, it has several dynamics to it. One of it is it reads energy. So when you step into a space and you think, oh, I don't really like it in here, it's the solar plexus that's feeding that energy, that psychic energy through you. So it's important to keep it clear. And because it's a fire, your solar energy center, you can cleanse it with fire, but equally it's all about your self-empowerment and confidence. So she can help. So Uriel can help to give you that confidence. But when your confidence is waning and you need that burst of fire, she's like the light at the end of the tunnel. When you have lost hope in something, your world's come crashing down, she is the angel to call in because she's that glimmer of light to reignite that flame that's dimmering small within you. So yeah, they each have very practical ways in which they can help you.
I love that. I never thought of it as connecting with the chakras, and it makes so much sense because that energy and that our energy body is connected to all other energy as well. And interestingly, now when you're speaking, I'm feeling like I'm getting clarity in an experience that I had maybe around 11 years ago, actually. 11 is coming up. It was the first experience that I had where I audibly heard something very clearly, a female voice speaking to me and letting me know. I felt very awake and it felt very clear, and I remembered it clearly, the advice that I got. And I was thinking, could it be a spirit guide? But I know also our angels, but the angels have been so strongly with me since also maybe 9 years ago. I was working in Ireland, in Dublin, and so much opened up for me there. And I went to a healing session with a woman, an Irish woman. It was actually Reiki healing, but she said, can I open up for the angels to also help? And that's when it started. And I started to calling upon the angels with everything I did. And the first time I did it, it was when I was going to the hospital and doing something. And instead of being afraid or not feeling comfortable, I started having this amazing warm energy around me, and I started also being very giggly and laughing, and they were surprised that I was acting like that. But it was like so beautiful, and just connecting so much with the actually, for me, if I work with, besides my healing oracle card deck that I work with a lot now that it's come out, I work mostly with my tarot angel cards. That mix, because I feel like the angels are just so incredible. And it's when you learn about the angels from different traditions as well, you expand. So it's like not only the Christian tradition, you know, we started talking about Yazidism and the peacock symbol and this sect of angels. And it's so interesting how they seem to have been around us for such a long time and guiding. And I really feel like if we ask, they help. If we let them, invite them, So for me, in all my healing work as well, it's always the angels present. And also in when walking in churches, we also have Protestant churches here. And as you said, it's not maybe that strongly symbolized in those churches, but they're so present there as well. I could like clearly experience the angelic realm above, like the altar and everything. And also in Islam, there's the angels, and in all the Abrahamic traditions, they've played like a really significant role with the prophets and the wise, the saints and everything. So I feel like that's, and I love that your book is so practical as well, like you said, and it's really, how do you feel like the working with the angels right now on a personal and collective level, why would that be important for us to tap into?
I think it's really important because we are, there's a lot going on in the world, a lot. And we really need to keep up hope. And so that's the first part. And then the second is, you know, this mass awakening that has been prophesied, you know, when I first heard about this in the 90s, I did believe it, but I didn't expect it to be like it is, to be honest, because back then there was hardly anybody who was interested in spirituality. They were either religious or they weren't. There was kind of, I didn't know any, you know, you were a witch if you practiced aromatherapy where I'm from back in the 90s. So it was really difficult to, you know, learn anything. There was no internet. It was just whatever was in the book store, and it'd be like maybe three or four books. There wasn't any information. But people are waking up this time. The prophecies have come true. So people are searching for information. What do I do? What's the purpose of life? How can I heal my life? And I feel like the angels can really help you to get on the right track, because as well as there being lots of beautiful information, there's also a lot of misinformation as well. Yeah. And I received misinformation. I was a shaman's apprentice when I was 18 or 19. It was the right path. You're never on the wrong path, but that wasn't a pure teacher what I wanted. And I had an experience, an unsavory experience. And after that, I said, right, I want the best teacher that anyone could ask for. And that was when I met Ted. So I did find my spiritual teacher. But angels can be your spiritual teacher as well. And I always, because I teach a lot of psychic work as well, if people have never connected to spirits or angels before, I always recommend that you connect with your guardian angel or an archangel before spirit, because they will always protect you. Because spirit, if you think, what are spirit world? They're just humans not in bodies. So there can be ego in the spirit world when you're doing readings in that way, and angels don't have egos. So it's always going to be what is in your best interest and just always surrounding you in that love and protection. So I feel like that's why it's important to connect with angels. We need to keep our energy high. If we tap into fear, then we're just spreading more darkness. So they can really shore up that belief, everything's going to be okay. And if we, you know, there's that as within, so without. If we can light up our own life, and that will ripple effect into our external world, it will, our children, our loved ones, if we can stay in a good place, in a high vibrational place, then it's going to uplift other people too, and it will spread, won't it?
Yeah, that's so true. Very beautifully said. And I love that you said, so your work includes also, besides the book, which people can find pretty much everywhere, what else are you offering for people, like classes and courses and or like one-to-ones?
So I've got an online membership. It's called the Angel Mystery School. Mm-hmm. And we do lots of rituals and meditations. Again, it's very practical because I feel it's important for people now, not just to be watching a lesson, but to be taking part in it. You have to be embodying these energies to see these shifts and create miracles in your life. Mm. So there's the Angel Mystery School. I do one-to-one tarot readings. I've got a little goddess temple. It's behind us if you're watching on the
beautiful
video.
Wow.
Women come up and gather. We have monthly gatherings around the fire.
And where is that exactly for people to know?
I'm in Cheshire in the UK.
Lovely. I have to come there because I love this place that you have behind you. It looks like a beautiful, like, countryside.
Yeah, it is. But I am right next to the airport. So people fly over from the Netherlands and different places just to come for the monthly gathering because it's so close.
It's easy to get to. And what is coming up for you? Because I know we're going to plan to have more conversations 2024. What is coming up for you that you want to share right now? Is there anything?
Yeah, so I've got a new book coming out in February, and it's called The Tarot Cheat Formula.
Yay.
And that is for anybody who doesn't know how to read tarot or does want to read tarot. And you don't need to know anything at all to be able to give yourself a reading. It's a proper, like, cheat guide to doing crystal clear readings for yourself. And then the following year, I have got an angel deck coming out, but that's a while off yet. So it's all
exciting. Wait. I cannot wait for both, actually. And I love the way you do readings on your Instagram if people want to find you on Claire Stone, right? It's always so accurate. And you know how the algorithm sometimes doesn't show you something right then, but then it comes to me always on a day where I need to hear it. And it's always, if it's like the general reading, it's like super clear. When I choose the card myself, it's so helpful. So I want to thank you for that as well. It really helps me to, like, focus, and just listening to your voice and your beautiful accent and everything, it's just I'm really grateful for that. You're amazing. So where can people find you, actually, besides Instagram, Claire Stone, and then
so Facebook? But I also have a newsletter. So if you head to my website, clairestone.co.uk, and actually my newsletter is in alignment with the moon. So I call it moon juice because it's all like the juicy information about the moon. So when it's full moon or new moon, I send out information about all kinds, mini rituals, meditations. It's loads of free content to help you make the most out of that moon that's coming up.
Love that. I will put everything in the show notes, and I really want to thank you so much for your work and taking the time to talk to me today. And I can't wait to talk in a while again about your upcoming what do you call it, releases as well. So thank you so much, Claire, and I'll talk to you very soon again.
Thank you. See you soon.
See you.